The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 16th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, and today he's going to be a host bringing in our new segment of called Men's Spaces. And I am so excited about that. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful day it is. And man, we all survived one of the greatest weekends that I think anybody had. I mean, 12 million people across the United States and then across the whole globe marched against fascism. And they said, enough is enough. You know, we are Americans. And we are not going to let our country go. Well, I'm really excited about this this morning's show. Joining us in the studio this morning is the Honorable Lee Pierce, who was the former vice chair at the Santa Rosa City Council. He was just amazing, amazing reign. He was actually the first African American, let's say black man, that actually sat on the city council, and the city was 136 years old, and he was the first man of color that sat on that council. And I have to say that he did a great job. And the reason he's here this morning is because he wrote the book called A Rare Vantage, Growing Up Black in the Wine Country. And I have to announce that Ken read the book and he said, my God, he said, it's so personal and so inspiring. And what's going to happen, you know, what's going to happen is this month, for this show, we are introducing something very new. It's called Men's Spaces. And what we're going to do is every quarter, we're going to look for men in the North Bay that have made an impact. And Lee Pierce has certainly done that. I want to do a shout out to all those in Sonoma County that showed up for the No Kings March protest. Like I said, 12 million people showed up. Our own press Democrat for Santa Rosa area reported thousands showed up over, where were they? They were at on Farmers Lane. And my sister Evelyn Holtz attended the protest, and she said that the streets were full. And I'm telling you, this is amazing that people are coming out. When I think about my sister, I mean, my sister was not politically active, but boy, during this time, she's writing postcards, she's going to the marches. So a shout out, Evelyn, you're doing a great job. I'm very proud of you. And also a shout out to all those who participated in the 55th Juneteenth Festival. And it was called a Festival of Freedom. It was another magnificent event. Ken and I were taking care of the booth for Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow. We gave away 5 scholarships. And let me tell you something, there was nothing that could replace the feeling that I had when I saw those young people up there getting educated and we were able to support them. 5 scholarships. And I want to thank Sutter Hospital, Sutter Organization. They made a huge contribution to the festival, and also the Grayton Rancheria. Greg Saris, thank you so much, all of you, for contributing to the Juneteenth Festival. It was a huge success. But you know something, June 14th was really, really a really high day. And I kept in my mind, I kept swirling, you know, what's the meaning of June 14th, 2025? And so what I did is I have 2 wonderful, wonderful women friends, and that's Sherry Glazer and Magic. And they are tarot readers. And so I called them up. I says, you know something? I says, what's going on here? I want to know, what does June 14th mean? So let's go ahead. This is what they sent me. There was so much going on. So like I said, I asked two of my favorite tarot readers, performer, author Sherry Glazer and poet author Magic, to provide the interpretation for the day, and here it is. So this is Magic's idea. Magic writes, June 14, 2025, the numerology for No Kings Day reveals a powerful energy for positive change. Adding the month, the day, and the year, it comes to 2045, and that reduces to 11, and 11 equals 2. And I know 11 is a real power number. So what you do is you look at it, and you use the numerology as it relates to the tarot deck. For example, 11 is the card of lust, strength, and passion. I mean, think of that. Lust, strength, and passion. It is the Leo. Kendall loved that. It's the Leo archetype. So it calls for us to have a courageous heart and the power to act. A courageous heart and the power to act. Well, guess what? That's exactly what we all did. We showed up. And it takes a lot of courage, especially when you know there's police all around and, you know, they're picking up immigrants. And they don't even know who they're picking up. I mean, they're actually picking up Americans, if you can believe that. So number two is the priestess. And I love that. It's really the high priestess. So we need to trust our lunar intuition as we cross uncharted territory. That's exactly where we are. Our democracy is at stake. You know, so many things are on the line. So you use the image of a camel crossing the desert. As she takes a step, the oasis will appear. We can help each other across this unknown. I love you. Keep going. That's a little message for me. Thank you. And then Sherry comes in. And let me tell you something. Sherry is one of the greatest comedians I know. But when it comes to the tarot cards, she is very serious. No joking around. So here's what Sherry writes. In other decks, 11 is a major arcana justice card. Perfect. What are we looking for? We're looking for justice. The scales of justice are off balance because justice is a false concept. If it's fair for one, if it's unfair for one, it's not fair for the other. So the interpretation of the justice card can be the renaissance of sound of the word, just us and for us, to realize that it is the act of telling our truth and being heard by our peers that we experience a moment of justice. And the power in speaking our truth is so satisfying as we gather in the streets. We find comfort and company in those who align with our principles and the values of compassion, truth, and accountability. Amazing. It is that satisfaction that gives us inspiration to help us go on. While 11 is also 2, that does bring us to the high priestess, who does sit on the throne of balance and is centered in saying yes to spirit on her intuition and the laws of the universe, the laws of karma, the laws of nature, as opposed to man's laws that are derived from power over. The high priestess is an internal source of power and presence in relationship to the feminine that we need more than ever. And what I would like to tell you is that if you want to get, oh my God, what a reading! Thank you, ladies, for doing this. I mean, one phone call, and they did this interpretation. And what it tells me is that there's hope for the future. Well, anyway, if anybody wants to get a hold of Magic, maybe do a tarot reading. I mean, she is really magic. I have to say that. So her email is magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, tarot, T-A-R-O-T, 11, at gmail.com. So that's magictarot11@gmail.com. Sherry Glazer, you can get a hold of her. I love her email. SheAndSheToo@gmail.com. SheAndSheToo@gmail.com. And I want to let you know that I'm going to have the reading on the website, and they will have all their information to get a hold of them. It was just an amazing reading, and I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. Wow, how'd you like that, Ken?
Oh, I did.
That was, I mean, that
you
was.
You always do it so well.
I know. I mean, just think we made a phone call and here they gave us this wonderful reading. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And hey, Father's Day was yesterday, and I want to do a shout out. I want to say happy Father's Day to all those wonderful men who have the title. To my dad, Solomon Holtz, and who was a strong union man, and Ken's dad, Don Norton. You know, they've made their transition, but let me tell you something, they are definitely in our heart. I loved Ken's father, Don Norton. My father died too early, and when Ken and I got together and I met his dad, let me tell you something, I adopted him. He was a marvelous, marvelous man. Well, to my dear son-in-law, Dave, and grandson, Ryan Jensen, and Uncle Doug, I can't believe that, you know, it's one thing to wish your son-in-law a happy Father's Day, but when it's your grandson, oh my goodness, two beautiful little girls, amazing fathers. And also a shout-out to Ken, who is a stepdad and step-grandfather, but I'll tell you something, he stepped in and he has just been a wonderful, wonderful support for my beautiful daughter Susan and her family. Also, I want to say happy, happy Father's Day to my near, dear friend Harold Rogers. Oh, my God, he was one of the organizers of the Juneteenth celebration. Happy, happy Father's Day, Harold. We live right across the street from them, and I'll tell you something. When it comes to a father, I watch Harold over the years, and I'll tell you something. I wish I had a father like that. So happy, happy Father's Day. And also we have Lee Pierce here. Lee Pierce has many, many children and grandchildren, and happy Father's Day to you, Lee. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to celebrate. And you know, one time there was no Father's Day. So I think it's amazing that we do celebrate. And that's what's happening, you know, for this program. We are going to introduce a new segment for Women's Spaces. It's called Men's Spaces, and what we're going to do is we're going to be interviewing men that we feel that are making a contribution and also that are feminist and believe in supporting women. And I know that Lee is in that ballpark, and I definitely know that Ken's in that ballpark. So we're going to have a little conversation before we take a musical break here. Ken, come on, come to the mic. Let's talk about this new segment since you're the one that's going to be doing the interviews.
I'm right here.
Tell us about your experience with radio. I know you've been with KKUP, and hey, a shout out to our friend Verge if he's listening. And tell us a little bit about your experience with radio and just the overall thoughts.
My first experience was at Radio KKUP in Cupertino in Santa Clara Valley. And I had a show called Humdrum, and I played music that is basic primitive music, or music that is from still tribal peoples in different countries, whether in Africa, in South America, or even in Europe, in very, very high north. It didn't matter what it was, but it was a lot of percussion sound. So that's why I chose the name Humdrum, because it was humming and there was drumming and it wasn't boring.
Well, I remember
my experience in radio.
I remember when I first met you, I was just overwhelmed with the music. I remember you introduced me to Vietnamese music. I mean, remember that song, Mani Mani? I mean, I had you play it all the time. It was just, and I thought, God, I didn't know there was this kind of music in the world. Well, you know, today, June the 16th, what a day. I probably should have the gals read, give me a tarot reading on that since we're introducing a new segment. Let's talk about that. We're calling it Men's Spaces because we're allowing a little bit of space. Talk about, as co-producer, and you know, you and I, we share this idea. It came forward was when I fell. I couldn't, and I lost my sight for some reason. And for some reason, all of a sudden, people were coming over to my house, and we were recording, but I couldn't read anything. And all of a sudden, Ken started reading a lot of the script. And all of a sudden, I heard that melodic voice, and I says, "Oh my God, he's got it! We got to do something!" And that's how we came up with the concept of Men's Spaces and doing it every quarter. We'll see how it works. We might do it once a month, but right now, we're going to do it every 3 months. So, as a co-producer of Women's,
we got something scheduled in July too.
Oh, Right. So we're already every month, you know, without even realizing it. Well, you know, this is one of the most magical things that happens. All of a sudden you begin to see, no, we're not going to do a quarterly. We're really going to start looking and doing, being very serious about this. So how do you feel about that? Talk about how you feel about that. What do you think? Why do you think this segment is important, and what's our motivation for doing it?
Well, you know, we need to be allies for each other. We can't let gender get in the way of that, or skin color. We have to, you know, we're here together. We're on this planet for some reason, together, right now. And we might as well do it in a friendly and a kind way, and ways that support one another. So that's my idea of what Men's Spaces is going to be about.
Are you excited about it? I mean, and we got Lee Pierce here. You know, he wrote this wonderful book that you had the opportunity. There was Ken reading at Juneteenth. He couldn't put the book down.
Yeah, I am excited, and I'm very conscious to turn that excitement into a good interview.
Well, thank you, Ken, and what we're going to do, I just have two announcements, then we're going to take a musical break, and I got to tell you something. We're going to play this song by Buddy Guy. It's called Skin Deep. And I found this song about 5 years ago, and I have not played it because it was, you know, it's a male singing it. And I thought, hey, you know, maybe one day we'll have a man on or something. But then all of a sudden we thought to do this segment. I said, this is the first song. This is the song. It's called Skin Deep. And it's an amazing, amazing song. So let me just do these two announcements. Juneteenth is going to be this Thursday. Like I said, we celebrated it on June 14th. And the reason we had to celebrate it, by the way, a shout out to Nancy Rogers. She just did, from the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce, who led us all through Juneteenth. An amazing job. So on Thursday, June 19th at 7 o'clock, and Friday, June 20th at 7 o'clock at the New Vintage Church at 300 Sonoma Avenue in Santa Rosa is going to be doing a play, Juneteenth. And Annette Pickett is the one who wrote the play, and she's going to be performing. We had her on last week. Just an amazing, amazing talent. And what you do is go to freedomfestival.com, and you can find out all the information. Now, this you have to mark your calendars for August 30th. And I want to do a shout out for my dear friend Reuben Scott. He's been doing this is his fourth year. It's the fourth annual African Soul Festival. It's going to be happening in Runner Park at 475 City Center Drive. And from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., we've gone to the two of these festivals. It's an amazing experience. You get to know your people of color. Come on down. Everybody should just join and be like family. I mean, that's the whole idea. And that's going to be happening August 30th, 2025. And remember, everything that I say, everything that I announce is on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Okay, let's take that musical break. Skin Deep. Buddy Guy said he was inspired to write the song Skin Deep after reuniting with a white childhood friend. Listen to this. Whose parents had cut off their relationship at teens. And he wrote this. He also stated that the inspiration came from his mother, who used to tell him that beauty is only skin deep. So let's go ahead and let's play that song. And when we return, we're going to be talking with the Honorable Lee Pierce, and he's going to be talking about his book, Rare Vantage, Growing Up Black in Wine Country. So let's go ahead and play Buddy Richkin.
I've been around a while, I know wrong from right. Learned a long time ago, things ain't always black and white. Just like you can't judge a book by the cover, we all got to be careful how we treat one another. I say, skin deep, skin deep, underneath we all look the same. Skin deep, ever call me by my name. He said, boy, do this and boy, do that. But I never once complained. I knew he had a good heart, but he just didn't understand that I needed to be treated just like any other man. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath the way I look the same. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath we all look the same. Sit my child down when it was old enough to know. I said, out there in this big wide world, you're gonna meet all kind of folks. I said, son, it all comes down to just one simple rule, that you treat everybody just the way you want them to treat you.
Whoa. I tell you, this song, Skin Deep, definitely expresses what I read in Lee Pierce's book, Rare Vintage, Growing Up Black in Wine Country. This is Ken Norton. I'm going to be the host for this segment. We've got a new segment called Men's Spaces. It's going to be incorporated within Women's Spaces. I think just like a child is incorporated within a mother, right? For you joining in, I'd like to remind our listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You are listening to Men's Spaces, a segment of Women's Spaces, and I am your host and co-producer, Ken Norton. With me is my special guest, and he's the first guest of Men's Spaces. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Men's Spaces.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And I'm honored. She called me the Honorable Lee. I'm honored to be here with you guys.
Well, we all are. It's an honorable time that we're together. Now, Lee J. Pierce, is a native of northern Napa County, is an author, a public servant, an entrepreneur whose life reflects resilience and purpose. Born Leroy Jr. Pierce in St. Helena, he was the second of nine children, the first boy, in a hard-working black family. Raised by vineyard and domestic workers Spencer and Elizabeth Pierce, Lee learned determination and integrity off very early. At St. Helena High School, he excelled in academics and athletics, serving as student body president. His path to activism began at Merritt College, where he met Bobby Seale. After serving in Germany during the Vietnam War, he returned to build a career and family, rising to director of food services at Children's Hospital in San Francisco. He later made history as the first black Santa Rosa City Council member in 2008. Lee, I'm reading your book. There's one word that kept appearing. And that was the element of surprise, which you have the anagram TEOS. T-E-O-S. How did that belief help you in your life?
Well, there were so many different things that kept me doing different things that I never would have thought to do for myself. People would walk up and say, have you ever thought about da-da-da-da-da? And I'd just be gracious that they said that. And no, but thank you for telling me. And that seemed to be something that just continued to happen with me all the time. So I thought about, what is that saying? And I came to the conclusion that it was four letters, the T, the E, element, the O, of, the S, surprise. The element of surprise, T-E-O-S. And I put that in my brain, and every time I hear something somebody would say that struck that chord, I was in a new position. I was a dishwasher at Children's Hospital and found myself three more steps up to the director of the whole department head that sat in with a lot of educated department heads from other departments. So, yeah, that's TEOS, and now I have it on my automobiles, and I own four license plates through the California Department of Motor Vehicles. You cannot buy or get a TEOS after four. You can't get in. I mean, you can get them after four, not before four.
Because you've purchased all those.
I purchased all those.
Okay. Well, I see. I saw your car outside, and it had that license plate on it.
Yeah.
Tails. In reading your book, and I have to say, Lee, I am so glad that I did take the time to read your book. And, boy, it was a quick read. I just couldn't put the thing down. You were so personal in writing the book, and that I could see, I can relate to it. What you were writing, I can relate to it, even though I don't have black skin, and even though I came from a high economic class of family, I could relate what you're going through. And thank you for that book. I think it's going to help a lot of people in our community.
My pleasure.
And across the United States, I'd like to see this spread. I was amazed to see how many successes you have had and continue to have. You were student body president. It was a predominantly white high school. In fact, you even defeated the grandson
of Earl Warren.
Of the Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren in it. So it says something people recognize that leadership in you. How do you think, what was that?
I wish I did know I'd start selling it, but it's back to the TEOS factor. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things I did in life, I never would have just said, I'm going to do that. One, I didn't have my education completed, and no one else in my family that I knew of, I had gone through college. And so I was adding things into my head based upon the element of surprise and sitting in a lot of department head meetings as one of the only ones who did not have a college degree, but yet they were treating me like I did. Some of them were treating me like I had a PhD or something like that. And I just kept moving, and I thought, oh, my God, I got to get a college degree. And so that was one of the things you read it in the book where the name of that chapter is, I did it! You know, so, yeah, there were, coming from TEOS, getting into my system, I followed that all the way. And you mentioned student body president. That came about because there was a wonderful vice principal of the school who was also the women's PE teacher. Her name was Cynthia Fagg, the late Cynthia Fagg. And she's featured in my book in the centerfold picture of the person who really deserves who I am. She really deserves it because she came to me one day on the campus, and I worked for her husband after school. He ran the Silverado Sports Shop in St. Helena, and I helped keep things in order in the sports shop. But one day, Cynthia came to me and looked me straight in the eyes. She said, "Lee, I want you to run for student body president. And if you don't, I will have my husband fire you." Just like that. And I knew I needed that job, okay, because I was kind of helping my parents with the bill for 9 children ultimately, and the two of themselves, so 11 people in the household. So I can't go home and say, "I'm running for student body president." They wouldn't care what that was. And so, but Mrs. Fagg's eyes did it to me. She was like, "Lee, I will fire you." And I did it. And I won by a landslide, thanks to her. And
that element of surprise again.
The element of surprise, something I never would have thought of doing. And she made me do it. And from that point on, when people would come up to me and say things like, "You know, have you ever thought about this or that?" Even writing this book, I was making a speech in one of my political runs for office, and when I finished, I was encircled by a number of people asking me questions, and this one woman who was like, I would say, just under 5 feet tall, and you know I'm like 6'2 or something, so she makes her way through the crowd, and she comes right up in front of me like Cynthia Fagg. I don't know what's with this thing, and she looked me right in the eye. And she says, "Have you ever thought of writing a book?" And I said, "Yeah." And I had people still had questions to ask me. They were And she says, "I will help you write your book. You said something that makes me think. I'm an author," she said. "I'm an author of 16 books. And you need to write a book." Okay, and then so I stood there and she says, "I'll help you." And then she got to the point of saying, "You don't have to pay me." And I said, no, we're not going to do that. And she goes, "We must." So I said, "Okay, we'll make a deal." And I said, no compensation is not going to fly with me. You're going to get paid. And so she sent... Jo Spencer is her name, and she deserves a lot of credit. She has written 16 books, and she came up to me, and she actually started me on the journey of writing because she allowed me to do what we're doing right now, speaking on a speaker, recording the chapters, and she would take the chapters and process them into manuscript.
Well, that is really a great story. Yeah. Another angel that comes into your life, the angel of Teos, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, I suppose.
It's almost as soon as you get that element of surprise, it's like, okay, I'm going to see where this leads me.
Yeah, so a lot of that.
Which one of the chapters was the most difficult for you to write?
Oh, certainly more difficult than... anything else I've experienced, and that was my sister, Mary Ann Pierce, who lost her life crossing the highway, U.S. 29, Highway 29, to catch the school bus on a foggy, foggy morning, and she was hit by 2 automobiles. One knocked her into the other lane going in the opposite direction, and we never saw Marianne anymore. I was 8 years old. She was 1 year younger than me. And then my sister was about just under 10 years old, nine and a half years. And we ran 2.25 miles all the way back up a hill to our house. And it was so, we didn't even know what was going on in our own brains. And we got to the door, and we're knocking on the door, and we open the screen door. And my mom comes to the thing, screaming, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" And you have to get the book to find out from there.
Yeah. I remember that chapter. It's very moving. And you've had these, like everybody in life, we have these joys in life, and then we have these tragedies that hit us. Like your sister, later on it would be your brother. Your brother fell in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a musical break right now.
Okay.
We're going to play the last part of the Skin Deep song.
Okay.
Because I tell you, folks, you got to get Lee Pierce's book, Rare Vintage, Growing Up in Black Country. Because he is a success story, not letting these difficulties hold him down. So here we go with our Skin Deep by Buddy Rich. And he's playing it with Playing for Change. Artists from all over the whole world. And I don't know if you've seen that on YouTube, but they just will be in, they can be in any country around the world with a different instrument, adding on as Buddy Guy is singing this song, Skin Deep. Buddy Rich is singing this song.
No, it's Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy playing for change, folks, around the world. And we have in the studio with us today, my name's Ken Norton. I'm your host for this segment, Men's Spaces, as part of Women's Spaces, the show. And we're interviewing Lee J. Pierce. And he has a new book out called Rare Vintage, Growing Up Black in Wine Country. What would you like people to walk away after reading your book?
Well, the first thing is I'd like to add an A to the title of the book, A Rare Vintage. So that when they Google, they get that right and it'll come up.
A Rare Vintage. Okay.
Yes. So other things that I'd like them to take away is I created this image for me, and it just started spreading, and I think it's worthwhile that people know this. It's called the spotlight factor. And as a person who is different from everybody else, or certainly the majority in any way, you could be a disabled person in a wheelchair, you could be a person from another country with a different language spoken, any kind of difference, you're going to have that spotlight forever walking or finding it above your head, taking image of you, whether it's good or bad. You have to know that you're being recorded all your life, okay? And when I was that student at St. Helena in the all-white population and pretty affluent city with a lot of winery owners and, you know, everybody was going to go to college and have been, you know, things like that. And here I was, this little black kid who was fortunately born in St. Helena itself. And that gave me another little thing of power in my mind, because we had kids being transferred in, rich kids from other places, and going to school. You know how that usually works. They come in, and if there's somebody, whatever, they expect to be, you know, acknowledged that way. And for me, it was like, this is my home. I don't care what I look like. This is my home. This is where I was born.
Again, how you frame, how you're framing your situation is key.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're one of these individuals that I described, you're under a spotlight. And it's going to be with you all the way through your life. Okay. And it's good in most cases because you can refer back to things that you did that were not good or what have you, and somebody reminds you of that and tells you. It could be your parents going, I heard about that you did on the school ground the other day, or whatever it might be. So you know you don't want that to be said to you. So you do your best all the time. And I found that using that sort of system, like TEOS, another one of those kinds of things, is something that helped me through my life, no matter where I was. So I put a page in the book, you probably saw it, called In the Spotlight, toward the end of the book at the epilogue. And in the center of that page was, guess who? Cynthia Fagg, the girls' PE teacher, who came up to me and put her finger in my face and said, I want you to run for student body. She set something in me that I never forgot. And when I went into the military after that, whatever my vibe was, the drill sergeant came up to me, a black man, and he was going up and down the rows looking to see who he wanted to appoint for squad leader. And he went all through, and then he came back to the front and walks in front of me and goes, you're going to be the squad leader. Without me saying one word. As a matter of fact, I was trying to put my head down and and not be noticed. But he came up to me, big guy, looked at me and says, you're the squad leader. And boy, I thought, here we go again, T.E., you know, that kind of thing. And then after coming out of the military, I knew I had read there is a law that you get your job back, whatever job you had, once you finish your six-year thing with 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. And so I called the Children's Hospital, because I was a dishwasher before I got a chance to finish my junior college. I was washing dishes in the hospital. And so I called the personnel lady, Miss Musser. You probably remember this. And I said, hi, Miss Musser. This is Lee Pierce. I'm in, you know, I'm calling to have my job back. And she said, yes, you have your job back. And so when I came in person back, and she sat up at the top of the stairs in this old building behind the hospital, this was an office building, and you're out of breath when you get up in front of her, and she's a former Air Force person herself. And I said, hi, Ms. Musser, I'm here to leave. She goes, I know who you are. And she goes, you want your job back, right? And I said, yes, I do. She goes, you're not going to get it. And I go, what? She goes, because I'm promoting you to supervisor.
Oh, my God.
T, T-E-O-S.
Did she have any idea that you were the squad leader?
No. No, she didn't know. She hadn't even seen my DD-214 or any of that stuff. She just had a sense, I guess, that I grew up more or something in the... Because she was an Air Force person.
It seems like your story's enveloping. Your life is enveloping with this framework of tales.
Yes.
That, you know... Don't be despondent or despair. Whatever hits you, there could be a bright light in doing this.
That's right. That's right. You have to. And a really good another example of that, Teos and the bright light and all. Now, after I came back, finished the dishwasher thing and then the supervisor thing for Ms. Musser, then I got a call from the hospital in Walnut Creek, John Muir Memorial Hospital. They wanted me to become their director of their dietary department. And they, okay, it was a smaller hospital than Children's, but there was something about it, so I moved to Lafayette, California, where I'd be closer, and boom, I went in there and did that. And my first meal that I planned for that hospital was called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It was based on the Sidney Poitier. And it was an excellent dinner that everybody had and celebrated with that, you know. So that T-E-O-S, again, comes into play. And if you just put that in your mind and your system and just look, if you get the book, look at that page called The Spotlight, In the Spotlight. You'll see me standing with people I never would have ever met if I was still living in Louisiana. I was born there. I was conceived there, but born in St. Helena when the parents came out. Yeah. But
and that, too, was a tragedy happened.
Yes, it was.
That would cause that to happen with your mother being...
Allegedly...
sexually abused.
Right.
While she's carrying you.
Yes.
And so your relatives wanted to... protect her and bring her to California. And mm-hmm. I think they lived in Oakland, right?
They had their own store.
Somehow you located in St. Helena.
In St. Helena, yeah, like...
Whoever heard of St. Helena?
Yeah, especially a black person. You know, and when I got, you know, did you get to the Bobby Seale thing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. When I... graduated from St. Helena High, I didn't really get a sit-down counsel because I was on a roll and everything. And I didn't know what I was going to do after graduation. You know, I'd go look for a job or something. And, you know, I kept trying to process where do I go from here? Because nobody. So I went. I heard about Merritt College on the radio, and you know, it's kind of sound like black people were there and everything like that. So I went to Merritt College and signed up and got in. And one day, the first day, I see this black man standing on the staircase outside of the gymnasium, and he was pumping his fist, and people were yeah and all right, brother, stuff to him. And I've never seen that many black people anywhere, and I hadn't seen outside of my family. I've never seen anyone. Yeah. And this guy, it was the campus was 8,500 people. Okay, St. Helena population 2,097, I think it was, or something like that. Total population. So here I am out there on the campus, and this guy's like he runs the show. And so I just stood there watching, And when he came down with his entourage past me, I wanted to be a friend of his. So with my usual aplomb, I go, "Nice speech." His head spun around. "Brother, what kind of accent is that?" I didn't know I had an accent. And so I knew from that point on, I had some work to do to assimilate into that group of people. And fortunately, the Army came along, you know, and not fortunately in that sense, but I wound up going to the military and didn't get a chance to finish my college there. But I got back afterwards and got it done.
Well, even your military time, and after the boot camp, you thought that, boy, I'm on my way to Vietnam.
Yep.
And to your surprise.
Yep. Yep.
Where'd you land?
Germany. And I was there sitting in a beautiful plush chair in the main lobby of the hospital. Everybody would come in, would get to know me. And there were these two, one was a captain, the other one was a lieutenant, and they got into a sort of a friendship with me. And then one day they walked in. This is a real important thing about leap year. They walked in. Here's another first, okay? And they kept looking at my smile, and they see the diastema, which I didn't know that's what you call that gap in your two front teeth. Was a diastema, and now I use it everywhere when people go, "Wow," you know. And so the one that turned into a general after that said to me, "We would like to do an operation on you to fix that and make you a more handsome guy."
Hey.
You know, and I go, "What are you
talking
about?" Yeah, he says, "We're working with some people in Switzerland right now, and we're looking at a new approach for fixing those diastemas." And he said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a 50-50 chance of survival."
Of survival.
And I thought to myself, my mom's not going to like this. But the other thing I thought is that I was supposed to go to Vietnam. And Vietnam would probably also be 50-50.
Yeah. Okay.
So if I'm going to be choosing here, it sounds like I'm going to be doing good for a population, whereby if I went to Vietnam on 50-50, I might not have even had a day left. I might have gotten shot or anything, stepped on a minefield or whatever. So I did that, the 50-50 with the dentist, and it was a groundbreaking thing. Took 10 and a half hours, and you're looking at what they did. You probably still see a couple of little scars there, because my thing for them was no scars on the outside of my face. And this is, they put it all back together. My mom didn't know who I was.
Yeah, that was amazing.
She
who is that?
Yeah. And I'm going, "Mom, Mom." And she just kept walking straight ahead, looking. So, yeah.
Well, Lee, we're getting close to the end of our show.
Oh.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you would think that a minute would have 60 seconds.
But
it's already.
Oh,
already
man.
At this time. And I so enjoyed this interview.
Yeah.
You know, when I read your biography right before, it says that you came from a vineyard and domestic workers. But, you know, what that entailed is that you sometimes didn't even have the right kind of shoes to go to school with.
Oh, man.
So having cardboard in there to
help
you.
Yes.
And to think that you have had this achievements in your life, these roles of leadership, including in our city as a city councilman, and to have your own company, Teos, T-E-O-S, which was, making rare artificial gems. So I'm just impressed with you. Give us your contact number. how people can get the book. We'll have something on Women's Spaces, too, to indicate that. But let our audience know how to get that book.
Well, they can get it right off the website, which is they can buy it directly on the website, which is a rare – this is all lowercase now – www.arearevintage-leejpierce.com. All lowercase.
And no spaces.
No spaces except that hyphen there toward Lee J. Pierce. And when it opens up, you're going to see a wonderful website in color. And you're going to see my face sitting there. And you'll see the thing with the some reviews are in there too. So that website was created. I'm going to give them their props. The Ewing Publishing in Louisiana, where my parents came from. They were New Orleans.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lee.
Oh, you're
DJ Pierce.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us here in the show. To be the first guest on Men's Spaces, a segment of Women's Spaces.
Yeah.
And I hope people who have heard this, they'll buy your book. And for you aspiring writers, what do you have to say to them?
Well, I think if you were fortunate enough to have somebody telling you that you ought to write, then do it. If you don't, still do it. If you think you have something in your mind.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you, everybody, for listening to Women's Spaces and this special segment, Men's Spaces. My name's Ken Norton. Just been interviewing Lee Pierce. Be sure to tune back. Remember, do it for the children.
Because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 16th, 2025.